Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Well, Michelle.
Yes? You know,
medicine isn't always the answer to a funky sex life. You know, popping that little pill and, you know, kind of going to that place, you know.
We don't even have that little pill to pop.
No, we have to make someone else do it. You know, the whole thing is so complex, and it should be. Dr. Emily Nagoski is on with us to help us understand why medicine isn't always the answer, why there's nothing wrong with your sex drive. Her book is Come As You Are. There's a little play on words. Come As You Are. The surprising new science that will transform your sex life. Dr. Nagoski is a sex educator, author, researcher, and activist. She has a PhD in health behavior and is going to help us understand what this is all about. Dr. Nagoski.
Let's go.
They're Her Radio. All right, let's do this. So why don't you need that pill? What's going on with this whole issue of there's nothing wrong with your sex drive?
So basically, the idea that of sex drive in and of itself is essentially flawed. The story we get told about sexual desire is how it's supposed to work, is that it should just appear spontaneously and out of the blue where you want sex all of a sudden. And so by the time you get home, you're already interested and ready to go. And that is absolutely one of the ways that a lot of people experience desire, is spontaneous, at least some of the time. And there is another way of experiencing desire in the research that gets called responsive desire, where it doesn't necessarily appear out of the blue, but if you're in the middle of, like, flipping channels or reading a magazine and your partner comes over and starts touching your arm or kissing your neck, you weren't thinking about it before, but in this nice context, your brain and body go, oh, right, sex, that's a really good idea. We should do that. So responsive desire emerges in response to arousal, whereas spontaneous desire emerges in anticipation of arousal, and both are equally normal.
Okay, so they're both normal, and, you know, I know you wrote this article in the New York Times. We both, Pam and I, found it fascinating, and that's why we wanted you to come on the show. But talk to us about a little bit about why is there nothing wrong with a woman's sex drive, in your opinion?
Yeah, a responsive desire is probably a little more common in women than in men. And I think we've been taught the spontaneous model of sex drive because it is more typical of the way men experience sexual desire. And so we're imposing this, like, male standard onto women's bodies. And surprise, women are not identical to men. They're different in some ways. And a greater sensitivity to context. Both men and women experience desire.
There's nothing about us that's like men. Let's be clear.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
so many times.
The timer on, and 2 minutes later, oh, my gosh. You know, and then they get right back to their racquetball game. You know, it's just. So we're trying to understand women's sex drive. I think a lot of women just guilt trip themselves, don't they? I mean, you know, what's wrong with me, you know, if I'm not feeling responsive, or what's wrong with me because my partner isn't interested, or what is this whole thing with the women's sex drive?
Yeah, we have a lot of women that I've talked to have spent a long time beating themselves up for not experiencing spontaneous desire. And there's this horrible, ironic process that happens where if you're not experiencing spontaneous desire, you do all these things to try to increase your spontaneous desire. You try lingerie and erotica and role play, and none of it works. And the less it works, the more you beat yourself up. And the more you beat yourself up, the less likely you are to experience desire.
Boy,
so if you let go of the idea that your desire is supposed to be spontaneous and out of the blue, you let go of that and you recognize that responsive desire is just as normal and healthy, and you allow it to be true that, you know, you, me, and the plaid boxers Saturday night, we're going to get together and I might not be hot to trot when we get started, but
when my skin touches
your skin.
The plaid boxers?
The plaid boxers. I
love it.
Who wears those?
You're wearing them on your head.
Whatever works, right? Dr. Nagoski, you got that one right down, right there. So what are the options to be able to help a woman walk through this? I mean, we've identified the problem. You said it so beautifully. So what are the first steps you can take to kind of get yourself out of this funky mindset?
Mm-hmm. The first step is to think about, well, first of all, just knowing that having responsive desire is normal all by itself is a really great start. It's tremendously liberating to know that you are not broken. There is nothing wrong with you just because your desire isn't spontaneous. So then you start thinking about what aspects of context will create desire. When does desire emerge for you? And I use the dual control model as of sexual response developed in the Kinsey Institute about 15 years ago, which says that there's a sexual accelerator and a sexual break. So if you think about what is it in your context, in your relationship, what kind of touch do you enjoy that activates your accelerator, turns you on, and what are the things that are hitting the brakes, that are keeping the off shut down? So this will often be things like stress or worry about being interrupted or body self-criticism or, most challenging of all, when you feel critical of your own sexual functioning, that hits the brakes. So if you get yourself a list of those two things.
That's a great way to put it, to the accelerator and then taking your foot off the pedal, right? Because you have both of those. But I need to tell you something that happened to me. You're so bad. You were so bad. Emily, I had a complete hysterectomy. And I tanked. And one of the things that happened was, you know, when my ovaries were removed, of course, there's no production of estradiol and or testosterone. And one of the things that really helped me, because my libido was shot, I had none. And along with all the other symptoms I had, and that really helped my sex drive come back. And I think that's important for women to know as well, because I suffered from that for 1 year, trying to figure out what to do. And that was so helpful for me. So what do you think about women who have had hysterectomies, for example?
The research around women's sexual desire and response post-hysterectomy is really varied. And it's like with hormonal contraception. Some women respond with an increase, some with a decrease, some with a flat line, and we don't know yet how to predict which woman is going to respond in which way. And the best advice is to try, if you notice a change, talk to your doctor and try a different hormonal replacement and see if it's effective, because we just don't know for which women that's effective and for which it's not.
That's a great answer, because I think it's not a one size fits all, right? So
absolutely.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much. That clarifies for women a lot.
Mm-hmm. I just really think that's a beautiful way to put it, because we really need to be able to honor every single woman's uniqueness. And I think a lot of the shame, blame, and guilt comes from the fact that one woman compares herself to something else. It just doesn't work that way. Dr. Nagoski, you have just been fabulous in helping us understand this whole issue of women's sex drive and that medication isn't always the answer. Everyone out there, we've been talking to Dr. Emily Nagoski. She is a sex educator, health educator, and has written a wonderful book. Go on out there and grab this one. Come As You Are, the surprising new science that will transform your sex life. Thank you so much for being on Her Radio. We so appreciate your insights and wisdom. I'm Dr. Pam Peake with Michelle King-Robeson.
Don't forget to get Emily Dr. Nagoski's book. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Stay well.